The first reading is from Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. Proverbs 2, 1 to 9. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, turning your ear to wisdom and applying your heart to understanding, indeed, if you call out for insight and cry aloud for understanding, and if you look for it as for silver, and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He holds success in store for the upright. He is a shield to those whose walk is blameless. For he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Then you will understand what is right and just and fair and every good path. The New Testament reading is from Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 20, and that can be found on page 788 in the Bibles in the pews. Matthew 7, 7 to 20. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Susie. Hi everyone, my name's Jeremy. If we haven't met, love to catch up afterwards. I've spoken of an odd incident before. One time I was on exchange in England. I was putting up a flyer for an Easter event, actually, on a board. And a housemate of mine, this was in the residence, came up to me and said, "How dare you?" I was like, "Dude, it's Easter." but she said, "How dare you tell everyone that, you know, Jesus is the only way, and, you know, what about everyone else? Whatever, all the other people who believe all the other things? You have no right to tell me that, you know, Jesus is the only way. I could believe in this rose, this dead rose on the table over there." She pointed to this dead rose and said, I could believe that that's my path to heaven, and you've got no right to tell me otherwise." I thought, okay. And she wasn't backing down. Now wasn't the time to win an argument. But I was in the wrong. I was promoting a narrow path. And in modern eyes, yes, it's okay to be on a spiritual journey, but it's not okay to claim to have found the path to God. That's a very narrow claim, a very narrow-minded worldview. Wide is the gate and broad is the path to fulfillment, says our culture. There is an infinite number of paths you can choose for yourself, and nobody has the right to tell you otherwise. But what if there's only one path that leads to eternal life? Today in our series, The Blessed Life, Jesus is transitioning towards his conclusion. He's kind of landing the plane. The seatbelt lights have turned on. All the houses and the cars starting to look a little bit bigger as you look out the window. And the crew have been asked to prepare for landing. And Jesus, sitting next to us, he's the pilot, isn't he? He comes out and he's eyeballing us. And he says, walk down the narrow path with me. Enter through the narrow gate. And for pretty much everyone, this is a challenge. Maybe you're on the fence. And the narrow path looks very risky compared with the wide, populous path. You wonder if you'd prefer the crowded path, the safer option. And for others, the narrow path is so hard right now. Maintaining a relationship with Jesus, maintaining his style of lifestyle, his style of life, is hard. It's hard to keep going. And Jesus has something to say to both camps. And that's what we'll be considering today. How do I find the path? How do I walk on the path? And how do I stay on the path to the end? And firstly, how do I find the path? Well, you don't find a narrow path without first finding the narrow gate. Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate. The word actually is kind of small. It implies a squish. It's a very narrow gate. I don't know if you've ever been on a hike where you've got your bag and you can't fit through a gap like that way, so you've got to actually take the bag off and like sneak through the side with the bag next to you. That's the kind of gate that Jesus is talking about, where you've got to shed baggage to make it through. And every week, we've come back to this verse, chapter 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Jesus wants us to come to him with no baggage, with nothing except our spiritual poverty. You've got to shed it all. And he says, I am the gate, in John 10. Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. And again, a little bit later, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. We come to the path through the gate, through Jesus, depending on his righteousness, his substitutionary work on the cross for us. And we bring literally nothing with us. And yet in walking through the gate, we come to the fullness of life that Jesus offers. And as you squeeze through the narrow gate, two things happen. Firstly, as we've said, a degree of isolation. Quite simply, the claim of Jesus to be the way, the gate, is unpopular. His call to die to self is unpopular. His call to an ethical and moral pattern of living that is totally contrary to the philosophy of Western, liberal, modern thinking. It's limiting. It's socially awkward at times. It's a call that takes us away from the crowded path. And we're going to feel that isolation at times. You will feel it at times. It's what I felt that time in Exeter in England. It's what I felt many times after that. And perhaps that's you at the moment. Or perhaps you're wondering, if that's the case, why would I enter through the gate in the first place? Well, when you do, you experience not just isolation in the negative, but transformation in the positive. I gave that image of squeezing through a narrow gap. You're kind of contorting your body. You're breathing in. You're wriggling your way through. And you come out the other end different, transformed. The squeeze of grace as we enter through the gate will not leave you the same. You are one person alone with God, not in a crowd, not with your junk, not with your baggage, but just you and your sin. And you're picked up, forgiven, and embraced, and renewed. You are born again. This is the squeeze of grace, so to speak. And then having been transformed, we are sent to tread the path until the end. a very narrow path. So how do I walk along this narrow path? What does it look like? Well, actually, for the whole Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been talking about the shape of righteousness, the shape of life required for those who are part of his kingdom. He's talking about a lifetime of faithful obedience, a pilgrimage along a narrow path, what Eugene Peterson called a long obedience in the same direction, which I quite like. And in verse 12, Jesus kind of distills the whole thing into one sentence. All the law and the prophets even as well. So in everything, Jesus says, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. This is what many call the golden rule. And this is actually a positive reframing of the golden rule that already existed according to Rabbi Hillel, who actually died in 10 AD. So he's kind of almost a contemporary of Jesus. He said, that which is hateful to you, do not do unto your fellow. That is the whole Torah. The rest is explanation. So go and learn, he says. See, this negative version of what Jesus is saying, it's quite a broad road when you think about it. If you don't like being hated, don't hate people. If you don't like being hit, don't hit people. If you don't like being disrespected, don't disrespect people. It's a broad path because it is very easy, if you're just avoiding doing all the negative things, to just withdraw into an existence where you don't hurt anybody and that's just fine. And that's it. There's no positive good done to anyone. But for Jesus' whole sermon, we've seen him narrowing the path, establishing a narrower path. So, for example, he said, you've heard it said, do not murder. That's a pretty broad path. Put your hand up if you haven't murdered. Okay, there's at least four hands. Good. But Jesus says, but I say, do not hate. That's a narrower path. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up if you haven't hated, because it narrows it down a lot. You've heard it says Jesus, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's a narrow path. The whole time Jesus has been establishing a narrower path. And this is so narrow even that it feels almost impossible. And to the extent that a lot of people say, well, Jesus is narrowing the path deliberately to make it impossible, to show us that we need him. And of course, that is the case. We do need Jesus. But this narrow path, his way, is not an arbitrary bunch of rules to make us feel bad. He actually wants us to live like this. So we shouldn't misunderstand him. He actually wants us to live this way and to walk the narrow path. He really does want you to give fully without any sense of self-glory. He really does want you to kill any sense of hatred or lust in your heart. He really does want you to cut out of your life anything without compromise that takes your heart from him. He really does want you to deal with whatever conflict is going on between you and someone else that is your problem. He wants you to repent. He wants you to forgive. He really does want you to pray for those who seek after your harm. He wants us to do all of these things. He's not just saying it. And so he sums it all up in verse 12. So in everything, do to others what you'd have them do to you, for this sums up the law and the prophets. Jesus says, essentially, what is the maximum good that you would have others do for you? Do that for them. In everything. That is, in every situation, in every circumstance, at every opportunity. So knowing what we know about God and ourselves and God's kingdom and Jesus' desires for us, in light of all that stuff, what is the maximum good that someone could do for you? Do that for others in every circumstance. In everything. This is nothing short of the perfect path of love. Perfect godly discernment of what is good for others, and then the power to go and do it every single time. This is the ultimate narrow path. It's narrow because it's difficult, it's taxing, it involves sacrifice, it involves forsaking the things that we love, that make us comfortable. There's no room to foster any sort of intolerance for God's values, or no divided interests, no space for compromise on the things that are close to God's heart. And it's also narrow because it's unpopular, as we've said. It will involve saying no to things our culture says yes to, and will feel a little bit like Noah building a boat in the desert when it's not raining and everyone laughing. It'll involve sadness. It'll involve sacrifice and loss. And this is the challenge, isn't it? This is a narrow path. It's the path that Jesus' disciples are called to live by. Small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life. So how can I stay on it? If it's that hard to live by it, how will I stay on the path until the end? Well, the first thing I'll say is by experiencing the spaciousness of grace. So, friends, don't despair, because remember the gate through whom we access the kingdom of God. All are welcome through Jesus Christ. All who come to the throne of grace for mercy are welcome. The basis of our salvation, entry into the kingdom of God, is not our successes or our failures. It is on the perfect life and death and righteousness of Jesus on our behalf. See, you know the golden rule. Think of the best thing that you could do for someone else. Jesus imagined what the ultimate good anyone could do for you. The worst of sinners, like me. And he went and did it. He died for you to restore you. And why? So that God could look at you and treat you as his child, as someone who had lived the perfect life. In other words, to make space for you. That's why Jesus died on the cross, to make space for you in his kingdom. This is the gospel. There is room enough for everyone. And the thing is, once you get the gospel, once you understand that, the narrow path of following Jesus becomes a little bit more like squishing through the wardrobe on the way through to Narnia, just to meet as not just to meet Aslan, but to reign with him. See, this is the reality of the Christian. Jesus wins on our behalf and gives us full access, the keys to the city, access to all the resources and the wealth of the kingdom. Everything you need, everything that you could hope for to grow in this righteousness and to get to the end of the path is available to the children of God. Which is why Jesus says these famous words, ask, seek, knock. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Why? Because you are a child of your Father in heaven, who loves to give good gifts. So pray. Pray. Pray for what? Well, a great number of teenagers would ask, Jeremy, I haven't got the Lamborghini I've been asking for, so a whole lot of good that is. Well, have a look down at verse 11. Jesus says, if you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? What kind of good gifts are we praying for? Well, Luke actually pads it out a bit. He actually says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This narrows it down a little bit, don't you think? The Father has given all with the Son to redeem you for himself, and he promises to devote all of his resources through the Holy Spirit to keep you in his embrace. And Jesus is saying, pray that the Holy Spirit will give you the heart that is softened to seek the will of God in all of life and softened to come to him with your sin when you stuff it up and ask for forgiveness. God doesn't deal in Lamborghinis or favorable life circumstances. He deals in the Holy Spirit. Lamborghinis and comfort are nice. I'd like one. but they don't keep you in his kingdom. Hearts that are softened by the Holy Spirit do. Hearts that hunger and thirst for righteousness do. And this is why I think Jesus tells us to, in verse 15, watch out. Watch out for the false prophets. Watch out for those who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you'll recognize them. Who's he talking about? He's really talking about authoritative voices, both within the church, but also outside of the church, who preach the broad road. Authoritative voices that advocate the attractive but broad and destructive path. By their fruit, you'll recognize them. That is, their refusal to live the way that Jesus has called his followers to live. Their prioritization of the broad road. What's an example of this? Well, I was procrastinating through the week, confession, and on Facebook, and I came across the reel, an inspirational reel of this female life coach. A reel is a video. And she said, imagine showing yourself when you're about 90 and about to die, a video of the life that you did live, or that you are living at the moment. And then show your 90-year-old dying self a video of the most adventurous and courageous life that you could have lived. Which one will make your 90-year-old self happy? I'm thinking, well, they're about to, anyway. Which one would make them happy? And the implication, of course, is the one where you lived the courageous life and said, go out and do the things that'll get you that life. That's kind of inspirational, I suppose. But you know what it is? It's the broad road calling you. What's the chief role? What's the chief goal? A life of thrills for your life? So you can that you can look back on before you die? See, this is the path that leads to destruction. This is the path that leads to death. Imagine Jesus' alternative. You know, showing your 90-year-old self a video of your life 2 billion years later from now, each day better than the last, beautiful and fulfilling and invigorating, full of joy with Jesus in the presence of your loving Heavenly Father, every day getting better and better. Ask God to give you a heart and the resources to walk the path that gets you here, this kind of life. In light of this kind of video, what are you going to ask for? A bunch of Lamborghinis or more thrills or a better job? See, watch out, friends, for the voices that will sell you the broad path but deny you eternity. And seek out voices that will speak the truth to you in love. Choose friends wisely. Because the opposite is true. God has given us, in answering these our pleas to ask, seek, and knock, one of his answers to this prayer is he gives us one another, so we can speak truth to one another, so that we can together enjoy the spaciousness of his grace together and beckon one another along the narrowness of the path. So how should we pray then with that in mind? Well, with hungry persistence. The urge to ask and seek and knock is in the present tense. It's as if Jesus is saying, continue asking, continue seeking, continue knocking. And also, there's a bit of an intensification here as well. Seeking is an intensification of asking. Knocking is an intensification of seeking. There's a persistent desperation here. I think of Jesus in the Beatitudes saying, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Not just blessed are those who are a little bit keen on righteousness, those who ask, seek, and knock with humbled, needy desperation. Because every new room you walk into is an opportunity to honor God and love neighbor. And do you really think that you can do this every time by yourself on your own power? How many rooms do you walk into? How many conversations do you find yourself in? How many relationships do you enjoy? How many activities do you do? How many people are you responsible for? See, it is in all of these situations that Jesus says, ask, seek, knock, because in these situations, we are called to walk the narrow road of love. So, Father, I pray, for example, that your Spirit might give me all I need for the narrow path in this conversation, in this room, in this task, at this dinner. But lastly, we can approach God with cheerful confidence, the cheerful confidence of a child, because that is what we are. If you then, though you are evil, says Jesus, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? It's a how much more argument. The idea is infinitely more. How much? Well, just ask the Apostle Paul. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will not he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Find me a kingdom more spacious than that, a love more accommodating than that, a more welcoming than your heavenly Father's. So brothers and sisters, enter through the narrow gate. Enjoy the spaciousness of grace. Enjoy the accommodating care of your heavenly Father, and ask and seek and knock, for anyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Let's pray. Father, I pray, get me there, to the end, to life. Help me to grow into the likeness of your Son all the more as I tread the narrow path. Enable me to know all the more the freedom of being your child. Give me the single-minded, single-hearted desire to love you and neighbor for the rest of my days. Amen.